coming to you live from a stinky little room at West End in Brisbane and broadcasting around Australia on the National Indigenous Radio Service. It's the Dunn and Daly Breakfast Show right here on 98.9 FM with Jamie Dunn and Clay Cassidaly. Good morning, boys.
Hey, Jamie.
How you going? Yeah, it's Jamie and Clay, 98.9, for our Knowledge Up segment. We haven't done one for a while.
How you going? Hey, Clay, how you going, mate?
Good, bro.
Yeah, deadly, brother.
Now, I wanted to talk about, it probably wasn't called Tippergargan, was it? The mountain, the Glasshouse Mountain?
You got that sort of version, and, you know, like I used to do a bit of rangering and that around there a couple of years back, and a lot of the rangers and that, yeah, they nicknamed it Tibro. And, so they call it Tippergargan, but, you know, proper language, if you pronounce it proper sort of style, it'd be more of a Tippergargan.
Oh, Tippergargan.
Right. Yeah, because Chibba with a C-H-I-B-U-R, something like that, that's talking about the sugar glider. Yeah, the sugar glider, and its gargan is like yam, and it's the same word. It's sort of calling out, yelling out, sort of screaming, I suppose. Yeah, talking. Yeah, you could say talking. Sugar glider talking.
Wow. Never knew that. Cool. Never, ever, ever, ever even thought along those lines. Yeah.
True.
So
true,
I guess around that area, because they are prolific. They would sort of be, well, they're not really prolific anymore, but back then they would sort of be like a totem, I guess.
Yeah, and then the Poms come along and misunderstood the pronunciation and did the best they could with the...
We'll call it Tippergargan.
I say.
They've done that with...
Pinkham Bar in Brisbane was actually Binkham Bar with a B.
Binkham Bar, and, you know, I did a little bit of mucking around and looking into it, and Binkin is talking about that land tortoise. Isn't it a land tortoise that's cruising around that Brisbane River area that's obviously...
Yeah, because that's all low down there,
And I reckon Binkin is the name of the, also the name of the cabbage palm tree.
Okay.
Yeah, so them two share the same name, so I'm thinking to myself, them two are probably connected in the dream, and back in the day, you know, one of the same. They share the same name.
Man, it's good to talk to you. I love talking to you.
So you're Gubby Gubby?
Yeah, Gubby Gubby. Some people say Cubby Cubby. There's many sort of variations because of the dialects and people's pronunciations and that, you know.
Yeah,
connected to that language group there, and living up this way all my life.
But, a lot of us whites didn't realise that each clan had their own sort of language, you know.
Sometimes
it was,
two, three.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. Some fellas would be able to speak, you know, up to 5 to 6, up to 10 different languages, some of them fellas, because of, you know, when you come into the gatherings and you got people coming from different areas with their language, you know, people had to sort of be able to communicate and all that. So, you know, learning each other's language was a good way to, you know, keep those communications and connections strong.
Well, I know that when I read Reminiscences, Tom Petrie, it talks about Oxley going up to Bribey, and there was a corroboree happening, a gathering, like you're saying, with approximately 3,000 natives there, you know, on Bribey,
Them fellas used to get together, and I mean, even when the settlers were here, they'd get together for big gatherings, fights to be settled, you know, at R&A or, you know, big areas. And a lot of those early European settlers weren't really sure what was going on. They thought they were coming to raid them, but those black fellas, they were either there doing a fishing festival, or they could be, you know, it would be something that they'll be doing in their business that they're not even worrying about them other fellas, European settlers, as much, but the European settlers seeing these, you know, big lot of fellas think that, you know, it's the end.
Tasmania is just a shocking stain on our history. It really is. But when the whites arrived there, as they arrived, there was a kangaroo hunt happening, and they were coming, the indigenous were coming down the slopes, making as much noise as they could to drive the kangaroos out onto the grassland, out of the bush. And, of course, the Poms arrived, and they thought they were being attacked. And there's no excuse for it, mind you, but, you know, that was the first you know, sort of meeting of white and black, and they were just hunting food. And
exactly, just misinterpreted it, eh? And just sort of like, yeah, took it a different sort of way, and yeah, it sort of ended up that way. That's right.
Yeah,
you know, you hear a lot of that sort of stuff going on where, yeah, people just weren't, you know, used to the culture or the way the people sort of talked and acted. And
yeah, but the arrogance of the, I mean, where they've been through the world, the whites, you know, it's happened. You know, it's not just a misunderstanding. It's a planned sort of genocide kind of thing. Yeah,
true that.
Like Troy's song, Shadows on the Hill. You know, that's a, you know, that speaks of a massacre, you know. So, obviously, and I can't pronounce it. You pronounce the name of the mountain.
Chibagargan or Chibiyum, but, you know, Chibagargan, people saying these days because of the accent, but, you know, Chibawakam or Tibrawakam, that's right beside it, is talking about the sugar glider biting this time. Wakam is referring to the bite, and how he bites into the lerp, the sugary lerp on the outside of some of those gum trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scratches it up and, you know, he's biting into the bark and stuff. So that's what that Tibrawakam sort of talks about.
Man, you should see Clay's face right now. He's absorbing everything you're saying, everything.
Yeah, it's deadly brush. You know, I remember hearing this stuff too, and I'll never forget it as well. It's just that information that, you know, the body sort of is craving, and that, you know, the mind craves. Yeah.
So the place name's kind of explained what was happening at that site, and, you know, when things were, you know, in season or things like that.
Lyndon, are there any bodies of water up there in that area that are connected to each other beneath the land masses, like sort of springs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, brother, like, you know, my grandmother was born on Budra Mountain in 1923, and she's talking about, you know, the lady interviewing her. She's saying, where'd you get your water from? Because, you know, they just lived on the side of the hill, it's shack there, no water. You know, they had to go and get it from the springs. And, you know, and Amber said, yeah, that was my job, you know, not a problem. I had to go get the spring early in the morning, and, you know, any time we needed it. And the rules were you don't, you know, muck around in the top spring, and, you know, that's the one where you click, you know, it's just a common sense sort of kicks in. But she said, yeah, you would never go dry up there at Budrum. There's just springs coming all out of Budrum Mountain. And I would, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. That's right, they're underground waters, rivers connected to the springs around here. There's so many springs, Russ. There was so many, and still today, heaps of springs all around the place, and some farmers have tapped into it and using it in their properties, and you know, everyone sort of knows of the fact that there's a lot of underground rivers up in these districts here.
It's a hell of a district, eh? And where did the Gubby Gubbies land spread to? From where to where, kind of?
You know, a lot of people with the native title stuff, it gets a little bit, different opinions. You know,
can't worry. Just answer the question.
No. None of that.
Come on, Lyndon.
But my theory is that over the hundreds and thousands of years, there's got to be some give, almost like the way that the tide comes in and out. There's got to be
a set boundary, mate.
No, not at all. I reckon over time there was a lot of changes. And depending on environmental, you know, depending on what nature was doing at that point in time, what the weather was doing, surely there was big changes and a lot of give in terms of where the borders were.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's right, Buzz. You know, when the settlers sort of coming in and people sort of getting removed or killed and stuff, you know, massacred, a lot of people were amalgamating, that's right, and, you know, survivors sort of amalgamating together, and there was that Dunderley movement back in the 1840s where he sort of, you know, had enough and decided to be, you know, that resistance for the people. And so, yeah, you got a lot of amalgamations, and, you know, me today, you know, you see all these black fellas around and that, you know, and they say, oh, I'm from this, I'm from that. But, you know, a lot of times then people living up this way, but they might be from somewhere else.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter that they're not from here, but they sort of go, I'm not, this is not my tribe and that. But, you know, there's a reason why they're here, you know what I mean, and doing what they're doing. They've always been chosen by the spirits to come and replace somebody that might have been there before them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
they're
sort of, you know, they're taking on that role that that needs to be taken on. And they, you know, and that's how I see a lot of people. You know, black blood, we got that blood from them old people. So, you know, we're all survivors. So, you know, if we're more united, I think that's what the ancestors would want us to be.
Yeah.
Together more, and when we're united, you know, we can do things together and we're stronger.
Man, you put it together so well. You really do. You really do. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Lyndon. Can we do another Knowledge Up, which is your name, segment?
Definitely.
Matey,
definitely, brother.
Don't leave town. We love these segments. We really do. If you'd have seen the look on Clay's face when you were talking, just lovely. All right, mate. Well, I'll leave you to it. What are you doing today?
Oh, nothing. Just got a meeting up there at Catharaba. Just about 2 o'clock, so I haven't got much on today at all. I've got a lot of artwork I've got to do, so you know, I've got stuff on.
So it sounds like a tough day at the office. Bit of artwork and a meeting.
Yeah, it's better doing something than nothing, eh?
Yeah. At least you're doing something, Lyndon.
All right,
Lyndon Davis there, our Knowledge Up segment.
Hello, world. It's time for Brisbane's most average breakfast radio. Jamie Dunn and Clay Cassidaly, give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. 3892-0188. That's right, 3892-0188. Give us a call and tell Jamie Dunn and Clay Cassidaly what's on your mind. With Brisbane's most average breakfast radio, but only on 98.9 FM. For the best country.